Are all three of you going to be speaking in English? Yes, you too?
Yes.
All right. Well, we have essentially original non-English speakers. They're all going to be speaking in English. That's Switzerland. Let me just say one thing. There's no Q&A after this session or the next session directly, because after that it'll be the Q&A for everything, just so you understand, okay?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon.
Yep, you're off. You're not on.
Bon après-midi, oui. Vous m'entendez?
Non.
Plus fort.
Non.
Doesn't work. So it was asked by the organizers to present very briefly.
Ah. No, you need it.
I think there was one.
12 minutes.
No.
The contents of the Folding Initiative or referendum. So let me first start with a brief reminder. Richard Werner has already.
So if you use this, I don't know, where's the on up button? Does this thing work?
Yes, you draw.
Yes. Hello? Yes?
Is it on?
Yeah.
Thank you. I was asked by the organizers to present the contents of the Folgen referendum, but let me first start with a few remarks about what already has been explained very well by Richard Werner, namely the origin of this referendum. Why do we need such a referendum in Switzerland? And later on, I'm going to elaborate on the contents, on the major issues that this referendum is about. The origins of this referendum is about the fact that banks do originate credit. They open credit lines for, as Richard Werner has called it, non-GDP transactions, much more than they're used to open credit lines for GDP transactions. So they inflate the money supply, so to speak, without contributing to increasing produced output. And these inflationary pressures is not meant to be observed on the goods market. The consumer price index doesn't increase really, but we have so-called asset price inflation. Real estate prices, but especially financial asset prices. And actually, as Richard Werner has explained very well this morning, we have a number of different theories about
This is Sergio Rossi.
About the nature and the purchasing power of money. But there is only one theory or one theoretical approach that is to the point, namely that banks do provide, they issue money by providing credit lines without relying on pre-existing deposits. And I'm just quoting a few important authors in this respect. First, John Hicks, some 50 years ago, published a small book, Critical Essays on Monetary Theory, where he pointed out that every transaction, and I would say every payment, implies three poles, the payer, the payee, and a kind of go-between. And this is the role of banks, perhaps not bankers, but a banking institution is always and everywhere required. And the bank doesn't neither buy nor sell anything, it just provides the means of payment. And the means of final payment, as Charles Goodhart really explained very well in a textbook published in 1989. A final payment implies that the seller of a good or service or another asset has no more claims on the buyer, and the buyer has no more debt against him. And a final payment implies really a bank issuing money not to finance this operation, but to measure the content of such a transaction, be it a financial asset, a real good or service. And here I'm quoting Augusto Graziani, I would say the father of the Italian school of the monetary circuit. He died a few years ago, when he explains very well that money is issued instantaneously. As a result of a payment, money disappears to give rise to a new bank deposit. So we have bank depositors who are creditors of the banks, and we have bank borrowers who owe this amount to the bank. But the bank doesn't finance the payment. The bank just provides the means, the numerical means of payment, which is a double entry bookkeeping item, actually. And the Folgen initiative or referendum has correctly pointed out that the origin of the systemic financial crisis is not in bankers' behavior or misbehavior, what in the US has been called the banksters, But the origin of the systemic financial crisis lies in a systemic disorder in our currently working monetary or banking system. This is where the Folgiade referendum begins to elaborate a solution. And the idea is to vote to change the federal constitution, to change namely Article 99, which is about monetary policy in the current version of the federal constitution, and to modify this article, giving rise to the fact or to the idea that all money supply should come from central bank and not from banks. Banks would have no possibility anymore to increase the money supply by opening new credit lines. They need to have pre-existing deposits to do so, maybe savings. So the Confederation guarantees that the Swiss economy is supplied with money and financial services, which is nothing new actually. But what is the major point here is that only the Swiss Confederation might create legal tender, which nowadays is in the form of coins and banknotes, plus, this is new in the Folgiade referendum, book entry money. And I'm going to explain later on that book entry money is about 90-92% of the money supply in Switzerland, as it is normally also elsewhere. So, and thirdly, the creation and use of other means of payment are permitted only as far as this is compatible with the mandate of the Swiss National Bank, which is to provide for price stability, considering the economic situation, and also contributing to financial stability, which is something that the SNB actually is not really doing, unfortunately. There is a new article, Article 99A, that the referendum wants to introduce into Swiss constitution, namely the central bank in Switzerland is going to manage the money supply, the total money supply, not just central bank money, which eventually with a Folgiade system will be 100% made of central bank money. And the money supply should make sure that, or the central bank should manage the money supply to make sure that the payment system works properly and that the supply of credit is given according to the needs of the so-called real economy. Because as Richard Werner has explained, the financial market transactions are a zero-sum game, and if you want to increase produced output to have better paid and higher number of job positions, we need a real economic growth, namely investment by small and medium-sized firms particularly. And the last part of this new Article 99A explains how this Folgiade referendum or the Folgiade system will be put into practice, namely the Swiss National Bank will create the whole money supply and make it circulate, so to speak, across the whole country via the public sector, the Swiss Confederation or the cantons, or eventually by allocating it directly to citizens, a kind of helicopter money, if you like. And then the SNB might grant banks term loans eventually. Now, how to illustrate this change of the structure of the monetary system in Switzerland, I borrow a few images from the Folgiade website. If we look at the previous monetary system in Switzerland, because until the late 19th century, we had a number of cantonal banks issuing their own banknotes. Initially, the state issued coins, or coined the coins that put them into circulation, and a number of banks, including cantonal banks, were issuing their own banknotes. And there were, in a sense, a kind of cacophonia, a very heterogeneous monetary system across the Swiss landscape. Then the SNB was set up in 1907. Early on in 1891, we had a kind of decision that only the Swiss Confederation might issue banknotes and provide for coins. So that today we have the central bank, the Swiss National Bank, issuing banknotes and putting coins into circulation. Coins are, in a sense, coined by Swiss Mint. But we also have banks, commercial banks, private banks, universal banks, global banks, and you name it, that put into circulation book entry money. And book entry money, as you know, this year, is more than 90% of the total money supply in Switzerland. And this is the major point. Banks have been abusing of their credit capacity, and a number of banks, including in this country, have been inflating our credit bubble or a private debt bubble that eventually, if it burst, might put the whole economic system at stake, and even financial system stability is going to be disrupted. And the idea of the Folkgeld referendum is to change this, to make, in a sense, a step backward, to make sure that all money supply in Switzerland is issued by the central bank, as is, it used to be once upon a time, with coins and banknotes. So, any form of money, virtual money, electronic money, banknotes, coins, are going to be issued by the central bank, put into circulation through the states, the Swiss Confederation or the Swiss cantons, and banks will be in a position to get part of these bank deposits as their customer savings. If they are demand deposits or transaction balances, these are going to be off the bank's balance sheet in order for deposit holders to be saved in case a bank is going to go bankrupt, in case of a bank run. Those deposits, demand deposits or transaction balances, are not going to be swept out when a bank goes bankrupt. Instead, if a bank wants to get savings deposits, time deposits, it will have to pay a rate of interest, but then deposit holders might be aware that part of their savings might disappear if the bank goes bankrupt. And this is a kind of structural monetary reform that should also allow the real economy to grow better and in a safer standard, in a sense, also looking after the environment and the society. It is a kind of sustainable, systemic reform that is meant to support economic growth, but in the interest of the national economy and not in the interest of the only financial sector. Many thanks for your attention.